Not great, Bruins. Not great at all. A second period last night at TD Garden that if I was there, I mean, if you were at that game, after the third one, after Pastrnak gets whistled for that second penalty and goes into the box and they score a third straight one, I would have left. I would have been like, bleep this. I don't need this. What am I going to sit here and watch this for? This is ridiculous. Like, that was insulting. I honestly found that insulting. They had a little bit of energy at the end, and Wiggy was talking about this morning. I guess the morning show was at the game, or some people from the morning show were at the game last night. I was not, and I'm glad I didn't go because, ugh, that second period was amateur hour. Three straight penalties in 10 minutes, and then they finally get that goal from Brazo to make it 4-2. They had a little energy towards the end of the period. It didn't matter. They couldn't capitalize on it, and then in the third, here comes Dallas again, making it 5-2, and that was it. You didn't really get much else. Just horrible discipline. Tons of penalties. Tons of turnovers. I don't know who I blame more, Andy. I'm having a hard time right now deciding if this is more of a coaching thing or more of a personnel thing, because really, you can make an argument for either one. I'm leaning coaching. I'm leaning just in that direction right now because it seems like nothing he's saying is really landing, and all the stuff that he's talking about is mistakes that they keep on making. But at some point, you have to hold the players accountable too. I'm not sure exactly where to go with it at this point.
Yeah, I would lean personnel. There aren't too many players on this team that are playing well, certainly not some of your highest paid players, some of your expected to be leaders, guys that are supposed to drive the Zamboni, so to speak,
right,
and move this thing along. And, you know, Marchand, I think, would be in that category. McAvoy, the whole decor. Your guy Swayman, who, again, I don't think he's been bad, but I don't think he's been good. He hasn't been able to cover up other mistakes and some of the things.
Yeah, he's been about league average, I'd say, so far. You know, expect him to be better than that.
Yeah, he's supposed to be better than league average. I'm paying him to be better than league average. He's an ascending star franchise goalie, but I put it on the players 100%. And I know we're going to continue to talk about Montgomery and how he's interacting with players, and he's a lame duck and he doesn't have a contract. And I know that's going to be a cloud that hangs over them. And honestly, I think it's going to become a darker cloud the longer they play poorly and the longer he doesn't have an extension. Because it's the closer you get to, wait, are you really not going to extend him? Is he really going to go into a postseason with no extension or whatever? But to me, it always starts with the players. Like, they're not having Patriots-like issues. They're not having all this chaos off the ice. This is on the ice. And they're professional hockey players, and some of them make a lot of money to play professional hockey. And to me, there's very few that should go home and say, yeah, I really, honey, nailed it tonight, really earned my paycheck. I thought I had a really good... Who's doing that? Like, fourth line?
Guys
for
in the fourth line, that's basically it. Yeah, I'd say that. Anybody down there, Kalanick, those guys, that's the only ones who could say that they're earning their paycheck and they're getting paid the least out of anyone.
That's not good enough.
No.
That's like the Patriots saying, well, our punter's pretty good, our kicker's pretty... Like, you need more than that to be a good competitive quality hockey team. And right now, they're not a good competitive quality hockey team.
617-779-7937, your phone number. Let's go to the phones. Rick is in Portsmouth. He has a thought on the Sox Pillar Power Rankings. Go ahead, Rick.
Ooh. Hey, thanks a lot for taking my call, Arcan. It's a good show.
Thank you, Rick.
Hey, and the other thing, Andy, you are you're much better on the radio than TV.
Okay, thank you.
Agreed. Who wants to look at that?
It felt like
a
shock.
No, it was a shock.
No, I just find you much, much less annoying on the radio. You guys are... I kind of miss Mego a little bit, but...
Okay, anyway, well, what's on your mind, Rick?
Thought we were talking power rankings here, Rick.
Yes, here we go. I think coaching's a big problem with the Red Sox. You know, they signed Cora to that extension, and then they went into another disastrous second half of the season. So, you know, I think ownership is kind of brain dead too, but I also think they really need to look at the coaching and Cora, and if it doesn't get better, they need to move on from him.
Well, they just signed him to a big extension. I will say this. They did blow out a bunch of the assistants.
Yes.
There's a whole bunch of new trainers and, you know, I forget exactly what the assistant hitting coaches and stuff like that. None of the big guys, I don't think. I think Fatsy's still there and some of the other ones, but I'll double check on that. I do know that there was a bunch of people from the old staff, from Cora's old staff, who got let go. But, you know, that's just turnover. I mean, that happens all the time. So I don't know how much you want to read into it, but I don't think anything's going to happen with Cora here in the next year, certainly. certainly. You don't give a guy an extension and fire him 1 year into it.
Yeah, first base coach, bullpen coach, assistant hitting coach, mental skills coach, trainer, and bullpen catcher.
Oh, they're really going to miss that mental skills coach.
I think they should send him down to the Patriots wide receiver room.
That's not a bad idea.
Mental skills coach if he's available.
They could use some help in that department, I would say, certainly. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We got a little bit to talk about here with the Patriots and their upcoming opponents, the New York Jets, who have a bit of a culture problem themselves. If you don't believe me, just ask Devontae Adams. He had plenty to say about that. And then, in space of what normally we do at 4:30 on a Patriots Friday, which is a scouting report for the upcoming opponents, we've already done that. So we're going to hit you with a little surprise at 4:30 coming up. But first, here's Joe Braverman to tell you what's trending. That was one of the newest Jets. Not the newest one. I think that's still Hassan Reddick. But right behind him there is Devontae Adams, who had a lot to say about the culture over there in New York. How about that, huh? Culture problems in New York. We wouldn't know anything about that here in New England now, would we? The Jets coming off a brutal loss to the Steelers. One that was a close game at the half, and then they just completely unraveled in the second half. It's part of a four-game losing skid that included a 10-9 loss to the Broncos, a loss to the Vikings, Bills, and Steelers, as I just mentioned. All of them pretty good teams. The Patriots now looking like another get-right game for a team here. The Jets already had a get-right game against them, you could say, although it was a win after their win over Tennessee as well. The only two wins they've had in the entire season. The Patriots now are 7-point home dogs, and I don't really feel any compulsion to sort of go in the other direction. I know I heard Shime the other day talking about, this could be the game where everybody's all against the Patriots and you go for it. I've already done that this year. I did that with the Niners. I'm not doing it again, and I'm definitely not doing it for this one because I feel like in a week where everything's going wrong for the Patriots and things are unraveling, the Jets' culture problems seem quaint, don't they? They seem like the kind of problems that I'd kill for the Patriots to be having. Oh, you mean their superstar wide receiver and their superstar quarterback aren't quite on the same page? Well, that's okay. They're superstars. They'll get there. There's at least something to look forward to, right? Like, eventually these guys will figure it out. You think, you'd hope. It's going to get better than this. There's no realistic expectation for things to get better in New England. There really isn't. Aside from Drake May getting better, which is something that I think is already kind of off to a start here, like, everyone considers this season to be over. I don't think the Jets are there yet. Maybe a loss to the Patriots and that'll change, but I still think that there's some kind of hope. There's some kind of expectation that offense and that defense can get better. Maybe for the Patriots is a little bit on Drake May, but in general, I would say this is about what you got and what you're going to get for the rest of the year. The Jets aren't quite there yet. They haven't quite fallen into that type of despair, I don't think, yet. Do you agree, Andy?
Well, they have talent. Like, that's where it just starts.
Right.
And I think their culture issue is more understandable. It's like, well, we're kind of piecing together talent, and we have young stars, and we have this old quarterback that we hope is still a star, but how is he interacting with the young talent, Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson, the other guys? You also probably have a little bit of a divide because the defense has certainly been better than the offense, so that's a traditional sort of challenge of culture in a locker room.
Yep.
Also, expectations, when you fail to reach them, that can create culture issues because people are finger-pointing, looking for blame pie and those types of things. Whereas for the Patriots, and I actually feel like for the Jets, this feels like it could be one of those get-right games that leads to some snide comments from, like, Aaron Rodgers or, you know, others maybe within that locker room. In some ways, in an old Patriots fashion, where, you know, and everybody doubts us and everybody thinks we suck, and, you know, and then Brady comes out and goes, we're too old to win, or things of that nature. I could see some snideness. Now, I wouldn't do it too loud, because if you're 3-5, right, they're 2-5, right, the Jets, if you're 3-5, is probably not the time to, like, collect on your receipts and go, you know, take a victory lap of snide comments. Like, at least get to 500 before you do that.
So when I take the field, I expect greatness.
Yeah, but you're not great. So right now you're not exuding greatness. There's only one great quarterback set to take the field Sunday afternoon at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, and that is not Aaron Rodgers. From a Patriots perspective, their culture, I don't know. Like, their culture, when you just look at them from afar, and I've touched a little bit on the coaching angle of it, but, like, the middle linebacker first-year coach, he should be a hard ass trying to prove himself. Like, and then the team, they don't have any stars.
Mm-hmm.
They've lost, actually, some of their better players.
Yep.
shouldn't their culture be almost very easy? Just a bunch of young, hungry, hardworking, want to take advantage of opportunities that are presenting themselves. And somehow they're nothing like that. Somehow they're not. I feel like they should be plucky. They should, like, all these adjectives.
No, it's like they're entitled instead, you know? It's yes. like, it's almost like they're entitled, and it's like, well, yeah. what do you feel entitled to?
And that's weird.
Yeah.
And I don't know, again, who to blame for that. I know it's open season on Jerod Mayo, but I also think it should be open season on Elliot Wolf and the roster. And both, like, the roster for being entitled when you've done nothing and deserve to assume nothing and should have no expectation, but also Elliot Wolf for putting together this roster of apparent talentless divas. Mm. That's a terrible term. Talentless diva. If you're talentless, then why are you a diva? Why are you asking for green M&Ms in your rider? Why are you, you know, at least Mariah Carey has like the greatest Christmas song of all time and she's got some great pipes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she can be a diva. Any of these people, KJ Osborne being a diva. I don't think I'm ever going to get over this. This KJ Osborne thing is really kind of stuck in my craw a little bit.
It's hard to really make sense of, you know? It's in some of these, you say, well, at least I can understand where this guy's coming from. I have no idea where this guy's coming from.
No.
I have no idea why he believes these things. Or why
and he has a nice mom. Did
right.
I tell you the mom story?
I do not know the mom story.
So his
KJ
mother...
KJ Osborne's mom has got it going on. Is that what you're saying?
No. Nice mom.
Okay,
but
nice mom.
We're not going down that road.
All right.
So leave that road alone.
Fine.
No, at training camp, he was doing a press conference, and I was sitting there, and a woman comes over, and she's like, ask him what role his mom played in his life or something. And I look up, and I'm like, I'm assuming your mom? And she's like, yeah. So she wanted me to plant a question. So I asked him, and he answered it. It was funny. It was like a nice little thing, and he, like, smiled. It was great. But now I look back on that, and I'm like, hey, mom, why don't you teach him not to complain when his boss asks him to work the next day at 11 o'clock on a Saturday night? Like, KJ Osborne has...
Takes a village, Andy.
Well, he needs a bigger, better village or something.
Apparently, yes.
I feel like he's become the poster child for the problems in that locker room, which is problematic because there's a bunch of other guys, too.
Yeah.
That could be, but...
Who play the same position as him and who are also sort of non-guy, you know, guys at the end of the bench, too. It's very weird. It's very weird how that specific group, which is one of the weaker groups on a weak team, has gotten all these problems. It just really doesn't make any sense. All right, with that in mind, normally here is when we do our scouting reports for the upcoming opponent. We already did one for the Jets, so instead, Andy Hart... We're going to play a game of Beat the Intern.
Oh, boy. I knew I was being set up like an MF-er.
So, Intern Mike is back there.
Like an MF-er.
And what we're going to do here, Andy, and if we could get a split screen on these two, since they're going to be competing with each other, that would be great.
Do I have a button?
No, I'm going to ask you questions. I'm going to alternate. And these are quiz questions about the current Patriots team, okay?
Ooh.
About the current Patriots
I'm better
team.
Like 15 years ago. Can we go like...
I'm sure you are, but this is what we're doing. I'm going to alternate one and then the other, and then if we need a tiebreaker, we'll get to it. But here we go. It is time to play Beat the Intern. Intern Mike here. Didn't know that he was doing this either. This is news to him, too.
So he was set up, too?
Oh, okay. Yeah. No one knew about this in advance except for Joe Braverman, who I texted the questions to and told him, get ready
to do some
stuff here. All right, here we go. Question number one. Andy, you want to go first or second?
I will go first.
All right, you want to go first? Here we go. What player on the Patriots has the longest reception of the season?
Kayshon Booty.
Kayshon Booty is incorrect. Mike, do you want to try and steal this one? Who has the longest reception of the season?
I was going to go Polk, actually.
Polk is also incorrect. Bad start for both of you. It's actually Antonio Gibson, that 50-yard screen pass that he had.
Oh, yeah.
And I believe it was the Seattle game. So far, that is held up as the longest reception so far of the season. All right. Intern Mike, this one's for you. Who is the team leader in tackles? Who has the most tackles on the team?
Oh, man.
Don't look at me or the monitor.
By the way, Andy, I want to see your hands, by the way, because we can't. I don't know that I can stop him from cheating. So let's see. Let's get the hands up there. Okay, that's good. Now, Mike, do we need an answer?
Pass, because I have no idea.
Pass, because he has no idea. All right, Andy Hart, can you steal this one?
I am going to say Jelani Tavai.
Jelani Tavai is correct.
Yeah,
Andy Hart gets a
let's
point.
Go.
All right, very good. Hart on the board. Here we go. Question number two, and this one goes back to you, Andy. Keon White leads the team in sacks with 4. Three players are tied for second place with two sacks each. Name the three players.
Three players with two sacks each.
And I won't say if you're right unless you get them all, or wrong if you miss one. So just, you got to say all three.
So I'll say Josh Uche, Dietrich Wise, and the Roy fella.
That is correct. All three of those guys have four sacks. Very, very good. All right, Andy, strong start here. As he's got two right. Mike's still waiting to get on the board here. All right, here we go. Despite only having played in three games, this defensive back has recorded 17 tackles, a half a sack, and two passes deflected. Mike, who am I talking about?
I'm going to try and go Uche, but I have no idea.
Defensive back.
No, he answered. Move on.
Okay, yeah, Uche is wrong. That's incorrect. Andy, who am I talking about?
Jabril Peppers.
Jabril Peppers, also incorrect. The correct answer is Marte Mapu. Marte Mapu, been productive in not a lot of games there. Okay, so no points on that one. All right, here we go. Okay, here we go. In their one win against Cincinnati, which Patriot led the team in receiving yards with 31, Andy?
Ooh. They had a Patriot lead to 31.
31 was the leader, yes.
I'm going to go Hunter Henry.
Hunter Henry is incorrect.
Damn it.
Mike, do you want to steal that one?
I'm going to go with my first answer. I'm going to go Polk.
Polk is also wrong. We were looking for Austin Hooper. Austin Hooper.
Hooper.
We were looking for there. All right. Andy still leads 2-0. We're going to go back to intern Mike with this one. Mike, who are the only two Patriots to have returned a kickoff this year?
To have returned a kickoff?
Yeah. Who are the two primary kickoff returners on this team?
Uh-oh.
I don't even know. I pay attention more to the Bruins.
Okay.
Come on. Take a guess.
That's
the best answer ever.
Come on.
I watch the Bruins. Why are we doing football?
David Pastrnak.
Yeah, I could talk way more about that.
All right, you want to pass on this one?
Yeah, I'll pass.
Andy, who are the only two Patriots that have returned kicks this year?
KJ Osborne and Marcus Jones.
Both of those are wrong.
Damn it.
Marcus Jones has been the only punt returner so far this year. The two kick returners have been Antonio Gibson and Jamichael Hasty.
Nobody watches the kickoff. It's stupid.
It's true. I can tell. No one's been watching them.
No one returns them either.
Andy, how many different Patriots have caught a touchdown this year? Give me your best guess without going over.
How many Patriots are going to touch?
How many different Patriots?
Yeah.
I can see the gears turning. The smoke's coming out of his ears.
Let's say...
The hamster's running.
Seven. I will say six.
Six? Okay, Mike, do you want to take a guess here?
I'm going to go five.
Five? The answer is seven, so Andy gets the point for that one. And not only have seven different Patriots caught touchdowns, no Patriot has more than one touchdown reception. So it's all seven touchdowns have been caught by a different player, which I was surprised by. I did not realize that. Okay, final question. Here we go. I think Andy already won.
We'll triple the points on this one.
How about that?
Yeah, come on. I get it.
How many times have Jacoby Brissett and Drake May been sacked combined through seven games? Closest without going over. Andy, you go first.
Let's say, so two, five games.
There's the rainbow.
We're
going
to need you to go
17.
17. Okay, he says 17. Mike, what do you say?
18.
18. Mike is correct. The answer is 25, so he's a little bit closer.
Damn.
Without going over, he is on the board. And
he priced his right to you, Andy.
I know.
He did
really
the Price is Right go.
As 17 and one penny. That's the best way to go about it. Okay, final question. How many points have the Patriots scored combined in seven games this season? Again, closest without going over. Mike, what do you think?
Oh, man.
Seven games.
53.
Okay. And Andy?
54.
I should have thought about this, but Andy's right. The actual answer is 99. 99 points they've scored through the seven
I know how
games.
To play the game.
So there
Learn
you
from
go.
Your elders.
It was basically over anyway, but there it is. A quick quiz here about the current Patriots. I'll tell you what. As I was going through this, I was thinking a lot of this stuff, like how many fumbles does Stevenson have, but everybody knows that. All the stats on this team, are like stats that are so bad that they're like historically bad. So I had to really strain and find some ones here that you might not know off the top of your head. I think we did okay there. Anyway, we'll do this anytime that there's a repeat in a game. Maybe not a current Patriots
quiz. And
when
we do a Bruins segment, we'll make sure to have Mike do
it. Absolutely. We'll do that 100%. We'll have Mike get a... Hopefully,
I think that's a win. I didn't get shut out.
You didn't get shut out. I mean, you kind of did, but you didn't.
Better
get
performance
shut out
than Jeremy Swayman.
That's true for sure. So there you go. All right, no scouting report today because it's the Jets. We already know who the Jets are and the culture problems that they're having. So quick break. 617-779-7937. When we come back, the Celtics looked great last night, but I'll tell you what didn't look great. People trying to drink their drinks on the sidelines. Somehow beers just kept getting spilled over and over and over in that same place. We'll get to that in your Celtics thoughts right after this. That was a wild night in D.C. last night. Boston Celtics with another romp over the Washington Wizards. 122-102 was the final score, despite a big first quarter there from Jordan Poole, which saw not one, but two instances where they had to stop the game and mop up a bunch of beer. Now, it sounds like these were two different things that happened here, despite calls to call off the group, or to cut off the group, I should say, that was sitting there courtside, which, again, I don't know these things because I don't sit courtside. You have to ask Hillman, but do you have a place to put your drink when you're sitting there? Is there like a courtside cup holder? Do you just have to put it under your chair? Or
yeah,
what
I think
exactly?
It's just the floor.
Right? I mean, you just got to put it on the floor. So, like, if you have a beer.
That or you just hold on to it the entire
or
time.
Drink it. Yeah.
I mean, I guess you
hold
and drink it the entire time. Do they give you like a lid for your beer if you're that close? Because if you spill it up in my seats where I'm sitting, then you just spill them in the sea. It just happens, you know, big deal. But if you spill it on the floor, they got to stop the game and then they got to take a TV timeout and, you know, throws off all the sponsors and all that stuff. So it seems like that's a little bit more pressing. Anyway, I didn't realize this was a thing that happened that often. It happened twice in the game last night. And despite all that, the Celtics were able to recover and smoke the Washington Wizards and go up 2-0. They have a game against Detroit tomorrow night, and then they finally have a game against the real team in the Milwaukee Bucks. But I don't really know if there's much difference here between the Knicks and the Wizards, the Bucks and the Pistons. You know what I mean, Andy? Like, I'm not sure that any of these teams really are on par with the Celtics when they're hitting their shots. I think the Celtics can make any team look like the Wizards or the Pistons or whatever. I think that that's just the type of season we're looking at right now.
Absolutely, and it's early, and we're getting ahead of ourselves, and we're feeling good, and they're winning, and they're taking care of business, and everything's rolling along. But I mean, I actually think the quote unquote challenging games, the marquee games, are the ones where they really come to play. And then it's the games like this where you might get a competitive first half, first quarter. Oh, okay, these guys got a little more fight anymore. Jordan Poole's going to hit a few more shots than we expected him to hit, and we're going to have to take this a little bit more seriously because they are just that good. There's just, and it was funny because I watched some of the highlight packages, and I don't know if you've ever noticed those ones that are put out. I think the NBA puts them out. They're like on YouTube, and they kind of give you a lot. It's like a 10 or a 12-minute highlight package. And they were bouncing back.
They pretty much document every single bucket that wasn't.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. And they were bouncing back between the Celtics broadcast and the Wizards broadcast. And the Wizards guy, and I don't know who the color commentator was. I didn't look it up. But he's like, they were kind of swinging the basketball and eventually getting it to the corner. And he's like, oh, and that's what happens. He's white. And he hits it. It was almost like, I saw that coming. This is what they do to you. They're going to make the extra pass, and then Derek White's going to hit a corner three, and we're not good enough to keep up with that kind of thing. The sort of dejected reservation in his voice of, this is just who, like, we're just fodder for a better basketball team right now.
And that
was actually Chris Miller in the play-by-play, and former player Drew Gooden.
Drew Gooden, who had that weird Hare Krishna braid. You remember that? Remember in the later years of his career, he had that weird braid that went down. It was like this weird patch. It was like the Hare Krishna patch, and then like a braid that kind of came down the bottom too. It was very unusual. Drew Gooden, but he was a good player. I like Gooden. I don't know what he's like as a color commentator. But I
dejected.
Also, I saw people say, and Nick Wright and other people, they got to change the rules. I don't like that. They're shooting too many threes. They're ruining the game. You don't like ball movement like that? Like, I know the sequence that you're talking about. That was good, but the ball didn't touch the ground. In the 80s, when the Celtics did that, people said it was the peak of playing basketball. This is how basketball is supposed to be played. When the Warriors were doing that same sort of thing, movement and, you know, the screens and all that, to free guys up along the outside, making the extra pass, extending their possessions and stuff, people talked about it like it was the greatest thing ever. And now I feel like the Celtics are doing it, and everyone's like, you know what? The NBA really sucks right now.
When you talk about ball movement,
you know,
you're talking about the movement of the ball.
That's exactly right, Glenn. That's what I'm talking about. And there was a lot of good ball movement, I thought, in that game last night and in the Knicks game, too. I love that type of basketball. I don't understand what people are bitching about.
So what does Nick Wright want to do? Like, you have a limit on the number of threes you can take or something?
I'll find the exact thing. He thinks that the Celtics are ruining basketball, and he wants to change the rules. He says, let's see here. That the rules need to be changed. They're ruining the NBA. I don't know exactly what the complaint was, but I'm sure it has to do with shooting too many threes. I mean, I'm sure.
Yeah, but what are you going to
do? Plan? I have the concept of a plan.
I mean, right, exactly.
Well, I have a plan. I have a two-part plan. You can either remove the three-point line or make dunks also worth three. At least I have ideas and a plan, because the Celtics are not ruining basketball because they're good at shooting threes. Good team shooting threes is not a problem. It's bad team shooting threes that becomes a problem. That becomes unwatchable basketball. That becomes not fun basketball. And that I would agree with. But when a team is good at it, like the Celtics are, and they only shot, 45 last night? It was a down game for them. They didn't really launch them quite as much. So, the good teams that do it well, like you said, the Warriors, the Celtics, Larry Bird, did he shoot too many threes? Like, good shooters shooting threes, I have no problem with. It's when it becomes pervasive and every high school, small college, big college runs five out and we're all going to shoot. And you're like, I don't think there's enough shooters on the planet for everybody to play five out basketball. Some might need to look for a different attack.
All right, but the Celtics ruining are good. The AAU. I don't care about that. I care about the NBA. That's what I care about. And the Celtics have five good shooters.
Right. They can shoot. I have no problem. I don't love it. It's not my style of basketball. But we're going to bitch about the best team in the NBA. We're going to bitch about a team that does a skill well. This reeks of Mel Kiper.
Get rid of the two deep safety. That's not fair. Defenses are playing defense, and it's working. I don't like a game where the defenses are allowed to play defense and stop the offense. Like, what are we doing?
I don't know. And I don't know exactly what he said, because I don't watch What's Right with Nick Wright very often. I just saw a clip of it, and I saw that Greeny at Barstool blogged about it too. But nowhere did they actually say what rule change he wants implemented, so I guess that's another conversation for another time. Or we could just let it go because it's stupid, and who cares what Nick Wright thinks?
Probably should.
Let's go to the phone, 617-779-7937. Talk to Jamal, who's in traffic. Hi, Jamal.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
How
I kind of hate to, y'all were all into the Celtics and everything. I had this Patriots, take. But I was just wondering why, we all know we're all miserable about the Patriots now and everything. I think there's a way better conversation about Patrick Mahomes and the fact that he might have a legitimate conversation for actually being the second best quarterback of all time, even though he's not playing good. You know, he's playing well in situations. I can't remember who said it on the station, but I remember hearing that. I was wondering what y'all thought about that.
I think that Patrick Mahomes, if he continues on this path that he's on right now, could pass Tom Brady. I don't think that's
absolutely
out of the question. He's on a trajectory to do it right now. I don't think it's likely that he's going to play until he's 45 or whatever, but I do think that if he keeps winning, there's going to be, it's not some cut and dry, no one's ever going to pass Brady. He could do it. He could absolutely do it. Andy Reid could pass Belichick. Both of those things could happen before both of those guys are done with their careers. Now, as far as this season's concerned, Brady never had a start to a year like this, like Mahomes is having. He's never come out this shaky and have the team still be this good around him. Like, this is pretty unusual. And I'll tell you what, I don't do a ton of big futures bets. I put down $10 on Andy Reid for coach of the year. I think he should be the front runner for it right now. I absolutely do. That's an undefeated team with their star quarterback not doing a whole lot and the rest of the team sort of filling in around it, and they haven't lost a game. Like, what else could you possibly want from your head coach other than that? I mean, that's not one of those years where you can say, well, what do you expect? He's got Patrick Mahomes. The Patrick Mahomes that he has is not performing well, and still somehow he's coaching that team to victory every single week. I think Andy Reid, this is turning into a Mona Lisa for him, I think, this season.
It's funny because I thought he was going to go down the road of what I put in the email the other day, that the Chiefs could be on the precipice of becoming the greatest football team of all time, maybe the greatest team dynasty of all time, if they can finish it, because we're only a third of the way through the season. But if they do two things that have never been done before in one season, which is three titles back-to-back in the NFL, no one's ever won three in a row, and they do it with an undefeated season, which I still think is highly unlikely because I don't think they're playing well enough right now to just assume they're going to win every game they play, then you're talking about maybe the greatest team of all time. We're forgetting about the Patriots dynasty being the great dynasty. Like, there could be a lot that changes. I already think that Patrick Mahomes can make an argument that he's the second best of all time.
Yeah.
He's two games away from arguing he's the best of all time.
I know.
Brady beat him in that AFC title game and in the Super Bowl. If that hadn't happened, Patrick Mahomes is already the GOAT. Those two games prevented him from being the GOAT, but the fact that the only person preventing him from being the GOAT is the GOAT, doesn't that kind of make him the second best of all time already?
Absolutely. I'd say it does. And, you know, there's people who are going to argue Montana or whoever else, but I think you're coming up to the point here with Mahomes where it's tough when it's still someone still playing versus someone whose career is over, but I think that this conversation is going to get forced on everybody here pretty quickly.
I was just going to say, this is not the time to bring this up, but put a pin in this.
Okay.
How are Patriots fans and you people, you know I like to call you people, you people, how are they going to react if the Chiefs, they don't go undefeated, but they win three in a row, despite what Patrick Mahomes is doing? Like, how are they going to react? Like, because I know they'd want to poke holes in him if he was the reason, and if he doesn't play well, are they going to even bitch about that even more, even though he led his team to a third straight Super Bowl title? Like, how are you people going to react to another Chiefs title if it's not Patrick Mahomes leading the way?
Yeah, that's a good question, because that's a good
pretzel
defense.
Time.
That's a good defense they have over there.
Yes.
And Andy Reid is not known as a defensive head coach either. So, I mean, this would be a big deal for that entire staff, I would say. Entire
Spagnola, right? Steve Spagnola is the
I believe it is. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Patriots know a little something about him.
They certainly do. So there you go. All right, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Everybody who's going to be here for the final hour, step forward. Andy, not so fast. We'll talk to you on Sunday, I believe, with Football Sunday with myself, Shime, and Mego, and the rest of the gang. We'll talk to you then. In the meantime, you got Arcan solo for an hour here as we close things out on a Friday here on WEEI Afternoon.